Get your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 1. Well, Matthew 28. Let's start at Matthew 28. And I'd like to ask y'all, Kenneth, I can't remember your daughter's name, but she's the only little kid here tonight. I want one of y'all Sunday school teachers on the way out and get her a prize for coming tonight. And then Jamie, she thinks she's grown, but she ain't. She's just a teenager. One of y'all get her a prize as she's going out tonight. Run back there and steal something out of somebody else's class if you have to. It belongs to the Lord. All of it belongs to the Lord. If you see something, to reward them, okay, do that. And I appreciate these kids. I remember when our kids were little, we'd take them on Wednesday night. Wouldn't hardly be any kids there. And just being a kid, I know how it is. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, if you'll look at it with me. And I'll try not to take too long. Verse 19, he said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Amen. Now, we've talked about faith. I've been talking about things that were in the ABCs of salvation, sort of, the ABCs of the Christian life. And I got to the word faith, and I thought, well, you know, most people are going to be on Wednesday nights. They know what that word faith. But just to remind you, Hebrews says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is something you can't see, but you just know it, and you believe it with all your heart. By faith, we please God. By faith, we're saved. By grace, through faith. Now, don't get too scared. He gives you the faith to believe to be saved. That's a gift of God, is the faith. You didn't have that. He gave you the faith to believe on Lord Jesus Christ. So he gives you the faith to go through the Christian life. And he'll give you the faith to take you all the way to the end. And that's what he's saying here. I'll be with you to the end. And whether that's the end of your world or the end of the world, he'll be with you to the end. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And so tonight I kind of want to look at this faith, maybe in the next step of faith. Now, we have faith, and the only reason we have it is because somebody before us had it.
That's right.
Amen. And they shared it with us. Yeah. We didn't know. We were blind, spiritually blind. We were spiritually deaf. Amen?
That's right.
We had no understanding. We were led astray. We were lost and wandering. But somebody, thank God, somebody came along who did have faith and shared their faith with us.
Amen.
Now, it might have been multiple people. I know in my case, it was multiple people had to come by and share their faith with me. And after I got under conviction, after the first time, 21, I heard the plain gospel for the first time in my life, and we'll get on that in a minute. And then God, that convicted me. It convicted me of my sins, my relationship with God, my relationship with man. And it convicted me. And that means it bothered me. And the Holy Spirit began to draw me. And the way he did that, he began to send other people by. They came by my house. I mean, they just come by and talk to me about their faith in Christ. And they were obeying God. They were obeying God. And so I want to talk to you for just a little bit about what he says right here in verse 19 and 20. We've got faith. Now, let's share it.
Amen.
Let's share our faith. Now, I want to show you why. But I want you to look at that verse again. Go ye therefore in all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son. Teach and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, why in the world would I share my faith? Because if I do that, I'm going to be embarrassed. You will. Your flesh will. When you share your faith, your flesh, your sinful pride doesn't like it. It's hard to take that first step, make that first knock, or say that first word. It's hard to start the conversation. Now, it's easy if somebody comes up to you and says, "Tell me about your faith." But lost people don't usually do that. Now, saved people will. But hardly ever will a lost man or woman look at you and say, "Tell me about this faith you got in Christ." So usually the person that has the faith has to start the conversation. Look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1. I'm going to wait on you tonight. This is a short sermon. Got plenty of time. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I'll get you home before it starts snowing. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Now, this is the Apostle Paul writing under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Now, listen to this. It's not the Apostle Paul, I'm sorry. But he said in verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and under the othermost part of the earth." Now, the reason he's saying this is because Jesus told him, he said, "Now, you go wait, and I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. I'm going to put the, he's going to baptize you into the body of Christ, then he's going to put him in you." And therefore, you'll have the power and the presence of God in you, see. Yeah, right. So, why do we witness? Well, we just read it. Number one, he commands that. He commands us. Look at it again. "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses." And he talks about his area, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost part of the earth. And now, so I know, according to Matthew 28:19-20, he told me to go. And in this, he says, "Now you wait and you'll receive the power of God so you can go." And then you read Acts chapter 2, you read Acts chapter 4, you read Acts chapter 5, you read Acts chapter 9, the where the Holy Spirit came in them and on them and empowered them to go witness to lost people. Now, witnessing is not some, people have formulas for witnessing. I got a little something that I do to help me stay on track. Now, I know y'all don't think I lose track, but the reason I don't lose track is I got notes right here to keep me on track. And, but when I go see somebody, I may come to your house and, I have what I call a form. I had a preacher teach me this when I was young. It's a form. F-O-R-M. F. I talk to people about their family. You married? You got kids? How many you got? And people love to talk about their family, or they love to talk about how they hate their family. But they'll talk about their family. And then I say, "Oh, okay." And then I say, F-O, occupation. "Where you work?" "Oh, I don't work." Well, then we go on from that. No, I'm teasing. but it's talk about the occupation. Now, everybody likes to brag on their job or curse their job. So they'll talk to you a few minutes about that. And then I say, "Well, that's good. That's good." And try to talk about the family and occupation. And then you say, "Religion, R, F-O-R, religion." I say, "Where do you go to church? Was you raised in church?" "I wasn't raised in church." "Was you raised in church?" And people either curse the church or they love the church. So they'll talk to you about the church. And it don't take but about 15 minutes. You go to the message, F-O-R-M, message. And the message is, "Have you ever been born again? Have you ever been saved? Have you ever received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?" And if they say yes, I say, "How do you know? How do you know that you're saved?" And some of them say, "Well, I had a vision, or I had a dream, or I had a car wreck, or I had a heart attack." I said, "Well, let me tell you how I know. 1 John 5 says this is written so you may know." 1 John 5, 11 through 13, I think it is. "This is written so you may know that you have eternal life." That's what the Bible's written for. "He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." That's how simple it is. By the way, that'll shut that Jehovah Witness up at your front door too. I tell them when they come to my house, I say, "I can take you and show you in your Bible how to know you can have eternal life." "Well, nobody knows that." I said, "Well, then your Bible's wrong." "No, it ain't." I say, "Hand it here." And there's now old Charles Taz Russell. He took the King James Bible and messed it up as much as he could. He took out hell. He took out heaven for anybody but 144,000 Jews, and he did all kinds of stuff. And you had to be saved by works and baptism. But he didn't mess up that passage. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 through 13, or probably starting 10 and go through 14. And I'll read it to him out of their Bible, and then I'll close it. I'll say, now your Bible says this is written so you may know that you have eternal life. I say, ain't that what it said? Jehovah's Witness said, yeah, that's what it says. Okay, do you have eternal life? Well, can't nobody know that? I said, your Bible says you can. It says right here, he that has the Son has life.
Amen.
And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now turn to John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the right, the authority, the power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. I said, there's nothing in there other than just believing on his name. And as many as call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And by then they done shut the door on me. And the Jehovah's Witness will slam the door on the Baptist for a change. Amen. But see, God has commanded us to share our faith. Now we're timid. We'll say we're timid. But it's really not timidity. Is that the real word, teacher? Timidity. I knew it was. I was just testing you. That was a quiz. And timidity. It's really not that. It's sinful pride. It's not that you're timid. It's just that you're so proud, your flesh is. It doesn't want to discuss this stuff because you're afraid they're going to embarrass you. That's pride. Well, you can't embarrass me about my salvation. And you can make fun of me and call me a hypocrite. When people say, oh, you're just a hypocrite, I say, you're right. We all are. Every one of us. I said, you'd say you don't like Walmart, you'll be back down there tomorrow. Hypocrite, liar, you know. I said, sometime we're all hypocrites. I said, but Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by him. I'm not going by my works, I'm going by what he did.
Right.
And see, so the flesh tells you, oh, you're too shy to do that. But if you couldn't do it, why did God tell us to do it? What you need to do is say, Holy Spirit, help me.
Amen, Father.
Put the words in my mouth. Help me, because I'll make a mess out of this. And you will. All right? So, number one, I know we need to share our faith because Matthew 28, 19, 20 tells us to. And Acts chapter 1, verse 8 tells me what I need to do before I do it. And that's get in touch with God and get filled with His Spirit. Now, look at Romans 10. Romans chapter 10. Am I going too fast? Am I confusing you? Romans chapter 10. I'm going to wait for you. Look at verse 14. Well, let's start verse 13. Verse 13. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Now I said, we ought to share our faith. We're supposed to. We're commanded to. And then we're empowered to do it. He'll give us the power to do it. Now I want you to look at this. Look at verse chapter 10 of Romans, chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now everybody knows that. Even sinners know that. Any drunk in town tell you, well, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But what they don't know is the rest of it. Look at verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they be how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things.
Amen.
Now, so the next thing I would say is this. Why would we share our gospel? Because God wants us to tell somebody, because how are they going to know if we don't tell them? For 21 years, I didn't know. Churches on every corner. I grew up in Lancaster. If you died on about any street in town, there'd be a church there. If you got run over on Sunday morning back then, probably somebody on their way to church run over you. But I'd never heard the gospel. You know why? Nobody ever told me. I thought it was in those churches. I thought that those were good people, and they went to church because they was good people, and they were going to heaven because they were good people and going to church, and people like me couldn't go to church because we wasn't good people. And I didn't know there are none good. No, not one.
Amen.
I didn't know that. Nobody ever told me that. They'd have saved me a whole lot of trauma and heartache and heartbreak and disappointment if they'd have told me, yeah, you ain't good. I know you ain't good. That's why you need a Savior. We all need one. But how are they going to hear if we don't tell them? They must have a preacher. Now, I hear people all the time. I've been at this 30-something years, and I've met all kind of people, and they say, well, I'm a preacher. And they never preach. Now, they might go to a church and read something and expound on it, but they never really preach the gospel to lost people.
Amen.
It shocks you how many pastors, so-called pastors and preachers, have never personally led a soul to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's shocking. It blows your mind. Very few. How are sinners going to hear that they're sinners unless somebody tells them?
Right.
How are sinners going to hear how to be delivered from the results, the wages of their sin, unless somebody tells them? And then how are sinners going to know that there's a salvation that they can have that's completely free? All they got to do is ask for it,
yes,
unless somebody tells them. See, your old flesh, you get around people at work and places, and you know, you feel like they're lost, but you, your old pride won't let you break down and talk to them because, number one, you're afraid it will embarrass you. But number two, the next thing, your mind will play a trick on you and say, well, they know it. Everybody knows it. Everybody doesn't know it. And it shocks you how many people go to church that don't know how to be saved. They've never heard. And a lot of times it's because they've got a preacher that's never been saved or a pastor that's never been saved. I heard a story. I used to know his name. He was down in Louisiana. Man, I wish I could remember his name. But old preacher. He told a story of how he pastored a church for 10 years, a Baptist church, and he was not saved. But he didn't know he wasn't saved. Nobody ever told him he wasn't saved. He thought he was born saved. So he taught the Bible verse by verse, didn't know he was lost. Until one day, under his own preaching, the Holy Spirit grabbed hold of him, convicted him of his sins that he was lost and going to hell. He went home that night, got down beside his bed, asked the Lord to save him. He got born again, gloriously born again, happy, full of the Spirit of God. Went back to church that Sunday. And told his church that he'd gotten saved during the week. And that night, they voted him out as pastor and fired him. And I thought to myself, for 10 years, you had a lost preacher. You was happy with him. And he gets saved and you fire him. Seemed like they'd been shouting, we finally got a saved preacher. Now he can tell us how to be saved. But they didn't want to know how to be saved. But see, somebody's got to tell them because God sent someone to tell us.
Yeah.
If you could see that foot right there, that's a beautiful foot.
Right.
That one is
too. What the Bible said.
What the Bible said. I don't care if you got bunions, corns, hangnails, yelling green toenails. If look. I'm preaching right down some of y'all work with them old people. You know what I'm talking about. I don't care what their foot looks like. If they're preaching the gospel, if they're sharing the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ, God said, you got beautiful feet.
Amen.
Now, wait a minute. There's a negative and positive everything. Well, if we're preaching the gospel, we have beautiful feet. How does he see the feet of those who are not preaching it? Jack Hiles preached a sermon one time on my hero. He preached a sermon on keep your stinking feet out of my drinking water. That was the name of the sermon. Keep your stinking feet out of my drinking water. And he was talking about the Word of God and people trampling down the Word of God. But I think it fits real good right here. There's some people got stinking feet that claim to be Christian. They've never shared. They've never walked across the aisle at work. They've never walked across to the desk at school. They've never told the people they go to, that's in their neighborhood and that they play ball with and everything else. They've never shared the gospel. Number one, it was command. Number two, he gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit to do it. And number three, he says, if we don't do it, who's going to do it? You don't think Lady Gaga is going to do it, do you? I would name a country singer, but I can't. All the ones I know have been dead for 20 years. I don't. But listen, we must. Verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Faith is more than just believing. It's believing in enough to share it with somebody else. If you love somebody, you'll share it with them.
Amen.
Well, they'll get mad at me. That's fine. They're going to get mad at you about other things too, and you do those. Amen.
Yes.
But you're scared they're going to get mad at you about your faith. They're going to call me a hypocrite. Look at them and say, you're right, pray for me. Sometimes I'm a hypocrite, pray for me. But I know what I'm talking about right here, and I'm not a hypocrite on this. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now this is Bible study, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I refer to this a lot in my preaching because it would shock you how many people that say they're Christians and even preachers and pastors and teachers who do not know what the word the gospel means. Some of them say there's the full gospel. Some of them say the other gospel and all this stuff. Had one guy say there was five gospels. I don't know where to get all this stuff because Apostle Paul said under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost in verse 1 of chapter 15, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel,
amen,
which I preached unto you, which also you have received. And wherein you stand, and somebody told me, so that word gospel means good news. Well, what greater news can you have?
That's right.
That's what he's saying.
Amen.
And wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. He shared it. He had faith. He shared it. And how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas and then of the 12. And after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. Of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. He means at that time. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. For I'm the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how is it some of you that some of you say, I'm sorry, I'm reading it backwards. Old English does that. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we're found false witnesses of God, because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you're yet in your sins. Now, he said all that to say this. Well, let's go ahead and read the rest of it. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Now, here's the gospel. He said it. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's how you get saved. He lived a life you can't live, sinless, pure, perfect. You have the condemnation of death, hell, and the grave on you. He did not. He took your hell on him on the cross. He suffered. The Bible says God laid on him the iniquity of us all. We're all sinners. So then somebody came by one day and told you that, and you didn't like that. You didn't like it. We call that conviction. Mm-hmm. I've never known anybody when I told them they was a sinner to say, "Woo, I'm a sinner." No. What? You call me a sinner? Yeah, you're a dirty, rotten sinner, just like the rest of us. And if you don't come to Christ, you're going to die and go to a devil's hell. And somebody had to tell you that. You wasn't born knowing that. Now, that's the only thing we're commanded to share with sinners. Did you know that? On Monday nights, we're studying the book of Revelation. We're just now getting into the churches right there at the beginning of it. But you know, that's not something that we'll share with sinners.
Right.
They don't know anything about that. I was knocking on doors one day down in Lancaster. I was knocking on doors, this little poor neighborhood houses about the size of this thing right here. And I walked down, people wouldn't open the door. They'd slam the door in my face. And so I'm walking up, this teenage boy's out in the yard up there and he's doing something. And so right before I got to him, I was real young myself. I was still in my 20s. I said, "Hey, I'm Pastor Ron Ronnie from Tabernacle Baptist Church. I want to talk to you a minute." He stopped and threw down the rake and he said, "We've been looking for you."
Hey.
That's what he said. "We've been looking for you." I said, "You have?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "We've been studying the book of Revelation in here at night, me and my roommates." There were three boys and a girl lived in that little house. They might have been in their early 20s, late teens. They lived in the house together. Hippies back then, you know, used to be hippies. And they lived in that house. He said, "We've been studying this, and we can't understand it. We need a preacher to come in here and teach us what this means." I wasn't much of a preacher, but I was the only one he had.
Amen.
He invited me in and they thought I was, they didn't know. They were not much younger than me, you know. But I sat down and, tell us what he means by this white horse, and tell us what he means by these locusts with hair of women and face of a man and stingers that, sting people. I said, "Okay, but wait a minute. You're getting the cart before the horse."
Amen.
"What do you mean?" I said, "You're starting at the back of the book." I said, "Do every book you read, do you start at the back?" Well, no. I said, "Okay, let me bring you up to this." So I took the Bible and I said, I took him through Romans. I said, "Look here, it says, the wages of sin is death." I said, "Why would he say that?" And they said, "Well, sin, you go to hell." I said, "That's right. How do you know you're a sinner?" "Well, the Bible says so." I said, "That's right. The Bible says so. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I said, "You know where that started?" He said, "Where?" I said, "Way back there in the Garden of Eden." That's where that all started, right there. And I said, God had to sacrifice an animal to clothe those people with. He had to shed their blood, those animals' blood, so that man and woman could be clothed. And I said, then we go all the way through the Old Testament. I named some of the things, you know, and I got up to the New Testament. And then I said, here comes John the Baptist. And he walks out on the shore one day of Galilee and he says, repent or perish, turn or burn. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Be baptized, repent of your sin. And he was baptizing those Jews because they'd come convicted of their sins. They knew they had sin in their life. And he would symbolically wash it away there in that water. And he'd say, now go sin no more. And they'd leave. But that didn't save them. That just held them till Jesus showed up a few days later. And then John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God. He's walking over that hill. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. I said, that's why Jesus came. It started way back there in the garden. God been making a plan. He's been making a way to take care of them. They wouldn't have to go to hell if they'd trust him and do the ceremony, do the sacrifices. All those represented Jesus. And I know it did because John the Baptist said, he's the Lamb that you've been killing. And they just sit there and looked at me. And I said, all right, now, in order to understand this, you got to know who wrote it. You got to know the writer. And I said, unless the Spirit lives in you, you're not going to make any sense out of this book. So I said, let's just start with salvation. Y'all want to do that? Yeah, yeah. So I took them simple as ABC. Admit you're a sinner, believe on Christ, call on him, confess it with your mouth, turn from your sin, turn to him. Now, I said all that to say this. If you'll just have an open mind and an open heart and step out by the same faith that you got saved by. Amen. Now, I got to believe it saves people.
Yeah.
I believe 1 Corinthians 15 in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. I believe that. That's how I got saved. Now, it's my job to get other people just to hear it. I don't get them. I can't make anybody believe anything. I can't convince you. I can't convert you. I can't convict you. All I can do is give them the Word of God. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Now your testimony is a wonderful thing. Have you got saved? That's wonderful. But it won't save not one soul. You have to get them to the Savior that saved you. See,
yeah.
And they've got to believe in his sinless life and his big word, vicarious atonement. That means he died in your place and his bodily resurrection. And now he's ascended up into heaven and you got to give them that. Now you don't have to go all the way back to Genesis. They know they're sinners already, but you do have to give them the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, I didn't know all that other stuff. I didn't know that when I got saved. I didn't know about Adam and Eve. I didn't know about Noah. I didn't know about Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob, or Moses. I saw Moses on television. They called it the Ten Commandments. He looked just like Charlton Heston. That's all I knew. And it didn't save me at all. It didn't even make me want to get saved. But that day that man stood up there and said, listen, he lived that sinless life you can't live because he is God in the flesh. He could do it. You can't do it. And he died that death. You ought to die because the wages of sin is death. He never sinned. He didn't have to die. He died in our place. And he rose from the dead the third day to prove that God had accepted the sacrifice. He walked out of that graveyard. And now you can be free by trusting him and what he did, not what you do. I didn't know all that stuff. But I do know, by the time I got saved, I did understand that I was a sinner and somebody had to die for my sins. And if I didn't want it to be me, it had to be him. So I called on him and he saved me. I'm just glad God kept sending people by to remind me of that story over and over and over and over. One more and I'm going to quit. I said I'd go short tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I didn't mean to go that long on that, but it was good anyway. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I like sharing it. I like to share it. Amen. I used to be scared. I ain't scared no more. I'm 65. I don't fear what man can do to me. I fear what God can do to me. Amen. Yeah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look at it with me real quick. Verse 1 through 10. Paul and Silas and Timothy is unto the church of Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of what? Faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Look here, in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, you know what he's saying? He's saying God's done a work. The Holy Ghost is doing a work. You have faith. God chose you. You suffered, but you got joy anyway. And then in verse 7, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Do you know what he says? How am I going to share my faith? Well, number one, you do it words. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But number two, you do it by example. You share your faith by example, by the way you live.
Right.
Look, you got to be sure of yourself before you share it to somebody else. And the only way you can be sure of something is do it yourself. Live it yourself. And then others will see Christ in you, the hope of glory. And they'll say, man, I might need some of that. I used to look at Christians that I worked with and I thought, man, they got it. They got it. They got what I need. Look, we can share our faith by word and by deed. Sister Kathy's got her people. She's sharing her faith by deed. Amen. Amen. You teach school, you want to pinch that kid's head off, you love them anyway. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're showing it by deed, not just by word. I can't say much about you. You got so mean you couldn't be around people. God put you down there with a bunch of cows. Cows don't get saved. They're made to eat. And so, but anyway, by deed, by word and by deed, that's how you witness to people. Now you can't live like hell and tell people how to go to heaven. What I used to say, you can't fly with the eagles and eat with the buzzards. You have to be one way or the other. And so, we've got a Bible. We'll know our Bible. If faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, you got to know something about the Bible, at least how to be saved. And then you got to know how to live. You got a Bible that tells you how to live. This is our instruction, man. We ain't guessing at this stuff. We're not making it up as we go along. There's been people living like we're trying to live for over 2,000 years. What you need to do is ask the Holy Ghost to help you like he helped these people. You need to carry your faith, listen now, in a clean vessel. If this, Paul said this is the temple of the Holy Ghost right here. What? No, you're not, that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. He moved in that day. This became his temple. He don't have one in Israel anymore. It's in every believer. The Holy Spirit, I can't explain that. He lives in here. And he don't bless a dirty temple. Go back and read about Solomon's temple and David's temple, even Herod's temple. It's beautiful and clean. I hope some of y'all saw that thing I shared on Facebook the other day. A man got dreadlocks down to here. Big old bunch. They fake. He just tied somebody's mop into his hair. And they're about that long. And he balls them up on the back of his head like a grandma's bun, you know. He walks around a pair of old sloppy short breeches and a sloppy t-shirt, and he talks about God, and he talks about being a good witness. I don't know anybody that I grew up with that would have listened to that man. He looked worse than we did. But he thinks that appeals to people. Then he spent 10 minutes making fun of the King James Bible. But he didn't quote not one scripture the whole time he talked. He must not even have a Bible at all. God wants clean vessels. Amen. You know why? When I carry the words and I share my faith, people can't see who I'm talking about. They can only see the one that's talking. Amen. If the Holy Spirit's going to fill it, it's going to have to be clean. We're going to have to lay some things aside, and we're going to have to put him on us. And he ain't, you understand what I'm saying? Clean, not sinful, not worldly, not carnal. Because 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 7 says, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia. Boy, there's such a crowd running right here now, and they claim to be sharing their faith, but they must not have the faith that I got when I got saved, because it cleaned me up. And by the way, I remember the Jesus freaks. Some of y'all ain't old enough to remember them. You remember they claimed to be Christians, but they were freaks. We called them freaks, hippies and freaks and fairies and all that stuff, you know. And down there at Myrtle Beach, they'd give you little things. We laughed at those people and threw those things away. We didn't read what they gave us. You know why? They looked and acted just like us. Yeah. And we knew we were going to hell, and they was trying to tell us how to go to heaven. And they behaved just like us and looked like us. We gotta have a clean vessel. If we want the Holy Spirit to fill us and to use us, now you go ahead and you witness to your brother and you live like the devil and you live worldly and dress worldly and talk worldly and act worldly, your brother's gonna look at you and laugh and he'll say, you ain't no different than I am. Your sister will do the same thing. Your cousin will do the same thing. That guy, that gal down there on the job will do the same thing. Y'all still with me? Now, see, here's the problem. Here's why more people ain't getting saved. There's not many good, clean vessels for the Holy Ghost to use anymore. There used to be cleaner, holier vessels. Doesn't make us better than anybody else. We put on Christ. Every morning we get up, we put on Christ first. And then we dress with the mind of Christ. Would Christ be pleased with the way I look today? And then our habits, our hobbies, our lifestyle, we look at that and we say, now would Christ be pleased with this? And would Christ be pleased with the way I'm working my job? Would Christ be pleased with the way I treat these people I work with or go to school with or live next door to? Y'all still with me? I thought wasn't nobody listening to me on Sunday night, and Thomas told me going outdoors, he said, preacher, you know, sometimes you worry about us being so quiet. And I said, yeah, I do. He said, well, maybe it's that we're thinking about what you said. I said, amen. Amen. But look, I'm not telling you we got to be perfect, but I'm telling you this. We're going to have to be followers of Christ enough that when lost people interact with us, they know we're not like the rest of the world. Yeah. Amen. So let's go out here this week and let's don't just say we have the faith. Let's share the faith, live the faith, and look to the faith to do something with the faith that we're sharing. Amen. Let's stand.